Welcome to Your Business, Your Life with Matt DeFrancesco, your personal financial technician. Whether you've had years of success in your business or just starting out, Hylett Financial can help you create a vision for your business, life, and family, and align these for generational wealth. As they say, what happens in your life affects your business. And now, on to the show. Hello, and welcome to Your Business, Your Life with your host, me, Matt DeFrancesco. And so I hope everybody's having a great summer. You know, I've been busy with doing some training on advanced exit planning and been attending some conferences. And one of the things that came up at a conference, and it was actually a few months before the conference, I met my guest today, Ray Roth. And Ray had talked to me about the employee retention credits that is part of the IRS code. And I found it fascinating. It was something I didn't even know about. And then I was at a conference back in June, and one of the speakers mentioned to it. So I thought it would be very beneficial to the audience to have Ray on and explain what these employee retentions or ERC, these credits are. So anyway, so my guest today is Ray Roth. Ray is part of a group called Stout. Basically, he's the director of disputes, compliance, and investigations with Stout. And they're a global financial and operation and advisory service firm. They work in a number of different industries like investment banking. They do valuations, right? Am I right?
Correct.
Yes. So valuations, transaction advisory, disputes, compliance, all of those sort of things. And they have over 500 professionals and they have 26 offices worldwide. Now, Ray, he's a certified public accountant in the state of Michigan and also a certified fraud examiner. He's got 17 years of experience providing a wide range of professional consulting services. And so he does a number of things. He works with federal regulators, compliance monitors, municipalities, board of directors, business owners. I mean, you name it. And it's a wide background that he has there. And really just kind of helping them to identify different certain casual events that may affect them and also those events that may impact their business operations. So Ray's got his bachelor's from business administration from Cleveland State. He's a member of the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners, and he is the immediate past chairman of the Michigan Association of Certified Public Accountants Fraud Task Force. Okay. That's some resume, Ray. So
thank you. Anyway,
no problem. All right. Welcome to Your Business, Your Life. I'm really excited to have you on today.
Thank you. My pleasure. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. Is there anything I might have missed or just maybe fumbled up? I mean, that was a pretty extensive bio there.
Yeah. You know, the last 17 years feels like a little bit of a blur, but I think, yeah, you hit a great nutshell there.
Well, that's great. And so thank you. So anyway, what we want to talk about is this employee retention credit program. And, you know, again, like I said, you kind of put it on my radar here and then it's been coming up all over the place. I know a lot of it's because of your efforts in the collision repair industry. So I kind of wanted to start out, how did you and Stout get involved in this employee retention credit program?
Yeah, great question. So my background, as you said, is I quantify the effects of some causal event. That's been my background as a CPA and a fraud examiner. So in a litigation scenario, laws and lawyers are going to win or lose the day, but I say for how much. The plaintiff alleges the defendant did something wrong. And so then I quantify the impact on the plaintiff themselves, or more commonly, a plaintiff's business. If fraud is suspected, we investigate the fraud, what was done, but then quantify what the effect of the fraud is. Mm-hmm. So with that background, I think we'll talk about ERC specifically in a moment here. What we do with ERCs is we quantify the effect of government orders on specific businesses, our clients' businesses. So my past history, you know, is definitely a niche role within the CPA profession. And quantifying the effects of government orders, it's one of the ways that you qualify for employee retention credits. Okay. So we found that this was an underserved area. Many traditional CPAs weren't comfortable with this type of analysis because they focus on preparing tax returns, doing audits, more traditional black and white kind of neater type analyses, where we're more comfortable getting into a little more subjective, qualitative aspects, and then looking for metrics that support that quantification. One of the big hurdles is you need to tie the effects of government orders on the business, like I said. So the hurdle was understanding all of the government orders. So there's some federal orders and guidance, but a lot of the orders came through state governments and local governments. So we ended up investing a little more than 3,000 hours researching all of the different government COVID orders. And so that was a pretty big time investment for us and our firm, but we were comfortable doing that because we had one client approach us early on that did a lot of work with last mile delivery providers, mainly Amazon contractors and FedEx contractors. And so we felt we had enough volume to justify that type of investment. And then my background sitting in Detroit, I've worked with a lot of automotive. I was a lead consultant to the independent monitor of the Takata recalls and worked with a lot of auto collision shops trying to spread the word of the recall. So I had some relationships. Mike Anderson at Collision Advice is a great contact, very well connected in the industry, worked with him and some of his groups because we recognized the auto collision space was an underserved area, but had a lot of impacts related to ERCs and government orders.
That was actually my next question, was how you got involved in the collision repair industry. So I'm glad you were able to clarify that, Ray. So I guess maybe to start, might be a good idea for you to explain what the employee retention credits are. Maybe let's start from like a 30,000 foot view, and then maybe we can start to dive in a little deeper with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the employee retention credits were originally enacted as part of the CARES Act very early in the pandemic with other government stimulus. And it's been modified a few times since then. The eligibility period has been extended. And they've also been more profitable. So now they offer up to $26,000 per employee.
Wow.
And so you imagine that that adds up. If even with 10 employees, that's $260,000.
Right.
There's, you know, when I say up to, so not everyone receives that amount. There's a lot of variables, really how much you pay your employees and whether you took PPP, because that's backed out. I would say we're seeing on average between $15,000 and $20,000 per employee for our clients in the collision space. And generally on the higher end of that, because within the collision space, it's specialized work, the techs make a pretty good living.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, and still even at 10, 15,000, that's a significant number. Even, you know, even with a shop 20 employees, again, you're still talking $200,000.
Absolutely. And it's found money, essentially. And it adds up to oftentimes life-changing money.
Well, exactly. So how does a shop owner qualify for these?
So there are two ways to qualify.
Okay.
The first way is simple. It's a reduction in revenue using 2019 as a baseline.
Okay.
If you could demonstrate a 50% decline for 2020 going quarter by quarter and a 20% decline between 21 and 19, then you qualify for the quarters that you have those reductions.
Uh-huh.
So that's very simple and straightforward. Honestly, it's so simple and straightforward, I don't get involved in those cases because it's just simple math. The other way to qualify, and really, I think the more common way, because many shops don't qualify for the revenue test or don't qualify for very many quarters because demand was so strong and inflationary pressures, you just don't hit those thresholds. So where I get involved, and the other way to qualify, it's what's referred to as the partial shutdown test. And the IRS defines a partial shutdown is you made modifications to your business to comply with government COVID orders, which includes supply chain disruptions that can be traced back to government COVID orders. So anybody working in automotive knows very well that the supply chain has been disrupted.
Right. Exactly.
The trick is, though, is tying those supply chain disruptions back to government COVID orders. So that's, again, where we've invested a significant amount of research time and looked at parts manufacturing, auto parts and components manufacturing, looking at domestic manufacturing, even though auto was deemed essential, basically everywhere, they still had to comply with social distancing and gathering restrictions, which means you need to shut down the plant, you need to space everything out, you need to re-PPAP, validate, you know, spend at least a few weeks getting the plant in compliance with other government orders. So you've got a hole just there in and of itself. But then when they came back online, they didn't come back at full capacity. You know, they came back between 60 and 80% capacity because they were like everyone else. They're competing with unemployment to retain employees. Mm-hmm. They got workers quarantining. You got workers dealing with childcare issues. So that initial shutdown plus the loss of capacity, coupled with everybody operates on just-in-time deliveries and limited to no safety stock, we dug ourselves this hole that we still haven't got out of today. And that's just for domestic production. Overseas, you know, they have their own issues and their own orders. Foreign orders are not applicable, but anything coming into the country needs to go through a port generally. And ports have always been backlogged and at capacity, but because of the labor issues, social distancing, they weren't able to relieve that capacity. And there's actually a lot of great literature about the state of California, where the port of Long Beach and Los Angeles is, and goods coming from Asia. They were especially backed up because the orders in California were so strict. And then so once you get it off the boat, then you got to get it on truck or rail or air. The truck driver shortage has been exacerbated throughout the pandemic. So we feel, you know, we've unpacked all of the automotive supply chain issues back to government orders for the reasons I just mentioned. And then you have the labor issues. I touched on that. And what we're really seeing is in cycle time. So taking it back. So what's the effect on the business? So there's government orders, you don't have parts, you don't have people. Well, how does that impact the business? Well, we're seeing for nearly all of our clients, between a 20% and 100% increase in cycle time, the time needed to complete repair orders because they didn't have parts, they didn't have people, cars sat longer. In some instances, businesses were turning clients away because their yard was full. They didn't have space to store any more cars. But then we're also seeing the average time to complete a repair order is increasing because you have social distancing, you're spreading out the shop, you're not sharing tools, you know, so on and so forth. And I think the last major item I'll say is most collision shops work with insurers a lot in direct repair relationships. They were taking on a lot of the, well, really virtual claim estimation. They were doing the job of the claim adjusters. They were taking the pictures, doing the paperwork. So that's time and expense for shop owners.
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah, and, you know what? And it sounds like that just from what you're explaining here, that almost every shop owner will qualify in some case.
Yeah, most do. We have a few clients that, you know, we've worked with, we've gone through. We've got a questionnaire that's almost 100 questions that's qualitative and quantitative and try to get a good baseline. You know, there's 1 or 2% that, you know, we talk with them and we don't feel they're a good claim. And, you know, we don't want them to take a bad risk. We don't want to take a bad risk, but most, substantially most do, because it's a homogeneous type business.
Yeah. It makes a complete sense. So these are tax credits, correct?
They are. But you do actually receive a physical check from the IRS. It's not like you get a deduction on, you know, your next tax return. You do get a physical check.
So could you explain that process a little bit so that the audience maybe understands a little bit better on how, and correct me if I'm wrong. So you guys come in, you do an evaluation, and you say, yes, you would qualify for these. So then I'm assuming there's a process that the shop owners would need to go through to get these credits. And so how does all that work? And then once they get the credits, how can they be used? Or, you know, are there certain stipulations on how that money needs to be used? I mean, PPP was like that. You know, you need to use like 75% on payroll costs. So just maybe give the audience a little more detail on how the actual credits work.
Yeah, all great questions. So the credits are claimed by amending your 941 payroll forms. Those are the forms you file every quarter with the amount of payroll, and they calculate your payroll tax. So that's how the credit is claimed. It's based on employee wages. So in 2020, you get 50% of the first 10,000 in wages paid throughout the entire year. Yeah. But then in 2021, when I mentioned it became more profitable, you get 70% of the first 10,000 per quarter. So of that up to 26,000, 5,000 is for 2020 and 21,000 is for the 2021 period.
Okay. Okay.
And so it's calculated based on that payroll. Once you amend those 941s, the IRS processes it, not in a sense of yes, we agree or no, we don't, but you filed, so we're going to cut a check. They currently have, I think, 3 years to audit these. I think they're trying to get more time period to audit it. So it's not you file it, you cut a check. Okay, we're out of the woods. The IRS has accepted it. They accept it in like the essence that they accept your tax return and pay a refund, but then they still have audit rights from there. You get a check. We're hearing from our clients is between 6 and 10 months right now between when you file and when you actually receive the check. And that period is obviously a little fluid. But once you get the check, there are no restrictions then on how you use that money. It's per business owner choice.
Okay. Okay. I mean, so there's not even a stipulation that needs to be used for the business specifically.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Okay. So if you want to buy an airplane, you can do that.
Right.
Just kidding. So anyway, Ray, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, you approached me. I hadn't heard about this program. Then, like I said, you know, Mike Anderson brought it up, but you know, Laura was asking me questions about it. Laura Gay, who's one of my partners. And why do you think the ERCs are such a well-kept secret?
You know, that is a very interesting idea and question and thought to discuss here. You know, I've been fully absorbed in this for about the past year. So for me, it's my day-to-day. It's everything I do. But, you know, I just read a report by the Government Accountability Office that they estimate only 7% of eligible businesses have claimed ERC and other COVID-related stimulus. So that 7% might even be a little overrepresented. And so it is a well-kept secret. And the GAO attributes that to, it's just complicated. People don't understand it. Right. There hasn't been a whole lot of outreach explaining it. And it's very confusing. You know, there's rules and exceptions to the rules. And one of our hurdles is we're talking with clients is they say, oh, well, I talked to my CPA about this. I don't qualify. And, you know, it is a little complicated. Like I said, I'm in a niche area where, you know, if the client doesn't meet the revenue test, but there's a lot of more traditional CPAs say, well, if you don't meet the revenue test, then I can't help you.
Right.
And that's interpreted as I don't qualify. And, you know, your tax preparer, they're responsible for a broad knowledge of the entire tax code, whereas we're focusing on a very narrow aspect of it as a specialization. So I think that's part of it is there's just confusion. I think on traditional tax preparers, they're trusted by their clients. And so there's just a lot of misconceptions. I would say the other thing is, you know, if you Google ERCs, you're going to get a ton of stuff back. There is a lot of fly-by-night companies popping up that frankly are giving a lot of bad advice. They're telling people if you wore masks, then you qualify, you know, and that's just simply not true. And they weren't around a year ago. They're not going to be around next year. And so that stigma kind of gets out in the marketplace.
Right.
You know, on one hand right now, as I talk to you and other clients and other professionals, you know, I need to get over that hurdle is, you know, stop. We've been in business for 30 years. We want to be in business for a lot longer. We don't want bad risks. You know, we don't want our clients to have bad experiences. We're not one of them. We actually only work in certain industries because, you know, like everything I mentioned with auto collision, we think it's a really good case. You know, we don't work with most white collar occupations, accountants, lawyers, because you had to shift to telework and that's related to government orders. But, we don't think it's a very good argument, very good analysis. So getting over that stigma, I think, is part of it, because people read and see that there's fraud and abuse going on. And then there's this just seems too good to be true. When do you ever get free money? And the last thing I'll say, I feel like I'm starting to ramble on this a little bit.
No, I think this is great stuff, to be honest with you. Good.
Thank you. The last thing is, as I mentioned, there's been a few rule changes throughout. So that just adds to the misunderstanding. Because originally, you could claim PPP or ERC. You couldn't do both.
Oh, okay.
And so 99% of businesses took PPP because it was more straightforward. It was just easier to claim, easier to get. And then one of the rule changes said, well, you could take both, you just can't double dip on the wages. And so for most of our clients, if they took PPP, that relates to the 2020 period. Okay. And then all of 21 is generally still available. Mm-hmm. And those are the more profitable periods anyways. So it's kind of a win-win. But that's another hurdle, is they say, well, yeah, we chose PPP instead of ERC, so we haven't looked at it since.
Right, right. And I think you made a great point. It's something that I, especially working with business owners on trying to develop, succession plans, family transitions, those type of things, is that, and this is not a bash on, every CPA or attorney, but you're right. A lot of times the professional that they have working is a generalist, and sometimes you need to bring in the outside expert to be able to help to translate whether these programs or maybe putting together specific documents. So I think it's really important with the job that you guys are doing at Stout to be able to help these clients navigate, and working in conjunction with their CPAs to help educate all of them across the board, correct?
Oh, absolutely. So one of our best referral sources is the more traditional CPA tax preparer. And a lot of times we get hooked up with them because we talk with a prospective client and they say, well, my accountant said I don't qualify. And so we always ask, well, could we talk to your accountant? Right. Because I think we'll have a meeting of the minds talking CPA to CPA. And most of the times when everyone comes into the discussion open-minded, they look at what we're saying, look at the IRS guidance. We're more than happy to share a sample sanitized work product because we're very proud of it. And so once they see that, they see the guidance we're relying on, see how we unpack everything, they say, yeah, this is great. I've got 50 other clients I'd like to introduce you to.
Right. That's great. That's great. And I think, again, a lot of professionals too, I think when they're outside their expertise, they can tend to get a little defensive on it. But when you're going out then and educating and working in partnership with them, I think that really helps to not only open them up, but also do what's in the best interest of the client. So what?
Absolutely.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I think a lot of times it's a misunderstanding between CPA and client. The CPA often says, I can't help you. This is outside of my expertise. And the client hears, I don't qualify.
Right.
So two very different things.
Yep. I get it. So if, here we've got, I'm a shop owner. I'm listening to this and I'm like, this is really intriguing. Me as a shop owner, what would be my next steps and how would then the process work?
Yeah.
So would I call my CPA and say, hey, do I qualify for this? Do I contact you? How does all this work?
Yeah. There's a lot of providers in this space. I mean, it's a gold rush, literally. It's a gold rush. There's free money out there. So there's a lot of providers trying to help clients. Some are good, some are not good. I think starting with an advisor that you have trust with is always, a great place to start. But understanding what their role is and if they're capable or if they could help make a referral to a specialist like me. Obviously, I would like to work with as many shop owners that are interested in working with me. Mm-hmm. But I think the first step for anyone is kind of to evaluate some of those big impacts that I spoke about earlier. Did you have cycle time impacts? Did your average hours per RO, did those increase? Did your insurance business, did you have issues with that? Were you making other modifications around the shop? Just, objectively think about that. I think for most people, the answer is probably going to be yes, we did. But if you look at that and say, there really weren't big impacts, then, you know, you could let it alone. But whether it's with me or your CPA or another provider, I think kind of understanding how it works and, you know, being able to make your case and be prepared to have an intelligent conversation, I think is going to be the most productive use of time. Because if you speak with somebody who, you know, is not overly familiar with this, and this is really only the last 18 months that this has been around. So, you know, all of us are kind of learning on the fly. And if your business is tax preparation, you know, it'll be a more productive discussion to say, hey, I understand I've made modifications to my business. I see cycle time. You know, I'd like to look into this. You know, could you help me, or could you help me find somebody? Or of course, stout.com is our website. Ray Roth, you could find me on there and contact me directly. I think my contact information will be with this podcast. I'd love to talk with you and have those conversations as well.
Okay. And that's, I think, what I was looking at. And it's, again, not saying, I mean, I'm kind of giving you the chance to do a little promo here, but again, you know, having you on, so me as a shop owner, we'd kind of look, answer those questions that you gave, and then say, this might be interesting. We could contact you and maybe in conjunction with our CPA have a conversation, and then you guys would do the investigation as to where we would qualify.
Absolutely. And so we've tried to make this as streamlined as possible. We have an online portal where our client intake engagement letter, that's all handled through there. But our questionnaire that I mentioned, that's through our portal as well.
Okay.
And once we see the results of that, before we get too deep into the analysis, we could spend 20 minutes reviewing the responses and have a pretty good feel whether this is a good claim or not. If after that review, if we feel this isn't a good position for you as a client to take, we will refund your money that you've paid to do it. Like I said, you know, we've been in business a long time. We don't want to rip anybody off or feel like anybody have a feeling that they've been ripped off. So we want to help people. And if we can't help them, we're not going to just take your money and say, sorry.
Right.
And I think that's part of our value add is we help you get over the hurdle. You know, should we proceed with this at a pretty risk-free type of arrangement?
Yeah, I think that's amazing. And I think any shop owner that's listening to this that does not try at least take advantage of that would be silly, because if you don't qualify, they're going to refund. So there's no cost to you. And if you do, think of it, it's a nominal investment to maybe get, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars back in these credits. So to me, that's a no-brainer. So
thank you. Appreciate that.
No problem. No problem. So anyway, so I guess, you know, we're kind of on time. Is there any closing thoughts that you have, Ray, that you want to express?
The last thing I want to say, I'm so used to getting over the hurdle of, you know, we're legit. We're doing a real analysis. You know, what I'd like your listeners to understand too is we actually engaged a former Department of Justice DOJ prosecutor who's now in private practice. He and one of his partners, who is a former IRS enforcement agent, we asked them to audit our process, because we're doing so many of these, you know, we feel very comfortable on the analysis, but it's essentially laws and regulations that we're interpreting. So we wanted to make sure that we were interpreting those laws correctly. And so we have what's called a substantial authority letter from these attorneys that are validating our process that, yeah, they agree how we're looking at this. We're interpreting these rules correctly. And so, you know, again, for anybody that you're working with, you know, that's a great question to ask. And, you know, we've done that diligence.
Oh, that's great. Do you have those letters posted on your website?
So it's actually privileged attorney client privilege. So yeah, we don't divulge that, but we do divulge that, you know, we've gone through those steps.
Okay. That's great. That's great. So no, I think it's awesome. You know, shop owners out there, I don't think it ever hurts to fill out the questionnaire to, you know, go to stout.com. Right. And that's just where they would get the questionnaire. And you know what, what do you have to lose? And there's really nothing, but what do you have to gain? I think there's tremendous opportunity that's out there. So Ray, I want to thank you so much for being on Your Business, Your Life. I think this is just great information. And, you know, we're going to be pushing this out to not only our channels, but I have a lot of partners that are in the industry. So we're hoping to get the word out to as many people as we possibly can. And I think I'd mentioned to you before, a group of us had started we'd started this mastermind, and we created a program. It's called the Collision Cocktail Hour, where it's an opportunity once a month where shop owners can come on to a live Zoom conference and ask questions of the mastermind. And we'd love to have you on maybe at some point to just talk about these ERCs and how it can benefit those shop owners. and they can ask specific questions of you.
Absolutely. I would love to.
So perfect. So Ray, thank you very much. The last thanks always goes to you, the listeners. Thank you to listening to Your Business, Your Life with me, Matt DeFrancesco. And if you've not subscribed to the podcast, please click on the subscribe button below. That way, once a new episode comes out, it'll download directly to your device and you can share it very easily with your friends and anybody you might think would benefit from this great content. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, please give us a 5-star review. And even on the podcast channels, whether it's iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. If you like what you're hearing, give us a 5-star review. That way it helps us to move up on the charts and we can get a lot of these great guests out to more people. So anyway, with that, again, I want to thank Ray for being on Your Business, Your Life. Thank you, the audience, for listening, and take care and God bless. We'll see you guys next time. Hey, I really want to thank you for listening to the Your Business, Your Life podcast. If you want to be notified when new episodes become available, click the subscribe button below.
The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of High Lift Financial. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investment, legal, or tax advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified professional with any questions you may have regarding your business or personal planning. DeFrancesco Financial Concierge, LLC, DBA, High Lift Financial, is a registered investment advisor. Registration with the United States Securities and Exchange Commission or any state security authority does not imply a certain level of skill or training.